Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Redeemer, who has gone through death on our behalf and risen again to give us the hope of life everlasting. We thank you also for sending your Holy Spirit into the world that we may know of this wonderful knowledge of Christ. We pray again tonight that you would strengthen our faith in him, that we may someday stand in your presence forever. We ask it all in our Lord's name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Redeemer. Amen. Our text for tonight is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 26. And let us rise to hear these words. Jesus says to his church, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Nearly 30 years ago, a very, very, very wealthy man in Colorado by the name of Forrest Fenn decided that he was going to bury a treasure. He had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. He thought that his death was nearby. And so he had someone fashion for him a very strong treasury box and filled it with gemstones, with gold, with rubies, golden nuggets, rare coins, and a lot of other jewelry. They believe it's estimated upwards of $3 million. And his goal was, when he got sick, to finally take it up into the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, and to hide this treasure. But he survived his terminal illness and is still living today, in fact. And so finally he decided, up in years, he was now in his 80s, that he would take his treasure up into the mountains nonetheless and hide it and then leave some clues. His goal was to have this become his legacy, that people would always be looking for this $3 million treasure up in the Rocky Mountains. In the past 2 years, he has given out four major clues about where to find this, and he's even published a book recently, although it doesn't really tell very much. The clues that he gives are often so vague. There are people that have dedicated their lives to trying to find this treasure, and not just hobbyists on the weekend, but some who are taking it pretty seriously. How frustrating it would be to know that something like this is out there and exists, possibly right in your own backyard, and yet you don't know about it at all. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross, has established for each one of us an amazing treasure before God, a treasure of having all of our sins paid for, a holy, perfect, righteous record that we need to get into heaven, the resurrection of our own bodies someday, a holy, perfect, glorified body that we will receive, the everlasting home of living before God forever. All of this is a beautiful, wonderful gift and treasure that our Lord Jesus Christ has put together. Christmas and Easter are kind of the hallmarks in the church of this great event. But sometimes we forget about Pentecost, which is coming up. And really, our Lord is speaking about that event here as well. And Pentecost is the way that God has allowed you and me to know about the great treasure that Christ has come to earn for us and to put together for us. Jesus says to his church, "The Holy Spirit, whom I will send, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." You see, Jesus knows something about us. And that is that when it comes to our knowledge of God and how to figure out the things of heaven, we are completely, utterly blind and lost about it. Like somebody who's just groping in a dark cave and has no idea where we are going. It's estimated that right now in the world, there are 4,200 different religions in the world. Just think if you could go back in time as far as we know to all the different possible ideas that people have come up with about how to get to heaven and how to reach God. Probably the multiple thousands of weird ideas. Some of them are really bizarre. I remember running across one a few years ago in India where people bow to a toad, a big toad that's been dressed in a tuxedo. That's one idea, apparently. The hymn writer, Klausnitzer, says this, "All our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded." And isn't that true by ourselves? You can just see that in our fellow human beings. When we try to find God and try to find this treasure of how to get to heaven, all of the best things that we can come up with are just groping in the darkness. And so, our Lord knows that we desperately need someone to lead us to the treasure. We desperately need someone to not just give us clues and hints, but to take us by the hand, to take off the blindfold, and to drag us right to the very treasure itself. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit, who's going to do this for us, as a counselor. He also, sometimes the word for him is translated as a helper or a comforter and a paraclete. A paraclete is really a word that describes someone who's called to stand right by your side, like a defense attorney, to stand there with you and, in a sense, take the heat for you and to defend you. That he's going to be your helper by your side, working with you. In fact, the Holy Spirit is even closer than that to Christians. You, through the waters of baptism, your very body now has become the temple of the Holy Spirit, God tells us in his word. How much closer can you get than that? This Holy Spirit whom Christ has sent to be your helper, your counselor, your comforter, your paraclete, your defense lawyer, to stand there with you by your side, has been sent to you by the Lord Jesus Christ so that you could know about and possess and enjoy the beautiful treasure that God has waiting for you. Our souls are kind of like sparrows that fly around trying to land in different places on different branches or different parts of the ground or buildings or gutters. Our souls in this life are always looking for some place and something in our lives that will make us happy, that will allow us to feel fulfilled and content. Think of all the stuff that we have in front of us that we fly off to and try to land on it for a while, but it just doesn't last. It doesn't give us that lasting peace that we want. It doesn't give us that contentment and that fulfillment and a feeling of purpose. But the Holy Spirit takes us to the cross. He takes us to where Christ has made atonement for every sin we've ever done. And through that gives us the peace of knowing that God, who would have every right to be angry with each one of us, just think of our lives, but because of the blood of Christ has been so kind and gracious to each one of us to give us full, complete, merciful forgiveness. And it's in that Christ, when our souls finally fly there and land on him, that we find the peace our Lord is describing for us. And in order to give us this knowledge and to bring us to this treasure that we have in Christ, the Holy Spirit has had to take us through some very strange ways of getting there, ways that no other religion has ever fathomed or come up with. The first is repentance. To go and repent of your sins before God, unlike any other religion. And secondly, to go to a dead body to find your God. A dead body that certainly came back to life again on Easter. And to there see the payment that was made. No other religion in the world would have come up with this strange approach. And yet God the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to see that this is the true and only way to have this treasure of heaven. And as Paul says, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Forrest Finn's treasure might be found someday, probably will be. Somebody will come up with some new tool to find it, I would guess. There's a woman who nearly lost her life a few years ago in the mountains looking for it. How thankful we should be to God that he has not left us groping to look around for this treasure and putting ourselves in danger, but has sent his Holy Spirit to us to take us through word and sacrament right to the treasure itself. May we enjoy it forever. Amen.